we're still studying the idea that the definition of a disciple, Luke 22, is you are they that have continued with me in my temptation. The temptation of Christ has no home in human nature. You will always think that something you're going through is a test. From Christ's standpoint, it's not. To continue with him in his temptation was always to resist the idea, to shift, the evil one was constantly trying to shift his focus away from the mystery of God or the will of God, benefiting man. So, to continue with him in his temptation means something totally different than anything that's going on in you. It has nothing to do with your internal battles or your even your whatever it is. So the question is, will you continue with him in his temptation, or are you going to be seduced by your temptation or your test? And this is fundamental to what a disciple is. Everybody understand that? What, you're musing again, Mr. Buckner.
I'm waiting to see where you're going.
Huh?
Waiting to see where you're going here. It's like a. Where do you pin this down?
Whether you're the subject of your sentence or God is. If you're in the picture, you're not continuing with him in his test. And we're going to see that right now. This evil one tempts us to lose the possibility of being of value to God by shifting our point of view from his will to man. And it's so easy. It's so constant. We always think that something we're going through, some test that we're having, is the temptation of Christ. No. Watch when God sifts or changes your circumstances to see whether you'll side with God or with man. This is why he was hated of all men, because he didn't address the issues of mankind. You know, he healed a few, why didn't he heal everybody? He fed a few, why didn't he feed everybody? He raised a few from the dead, why didn't he raise everybody from the dead?
He was king of the Jews, why didn't he save the Jews from the Romans?
Yeah. So the whole history, the whole mystery is this. It's not subtle when you see it, but it's subtle when you don't know what I'm talking about.
Wasn't he also hated because he said he was the Son of God?
Yeah, but if the reason they didn't believe him, the reason he was hated, is he didn't benefit man.
Do we look at his temptation as those in the wilderness?
No. That was just the... Well, that was part of it, but it continued. And that's why it says, as he is in the world, so are we. Well, let's get on to this a little bit. In John 6, you don't have to go there, but he had 5,000 disciples. In one instant, 4,988 of them left. And then finally, all of them left him.
That kind of speaks loudly. Man can't really fathom the kingdom of God.
No. That's why the Bible is here. Yeah. He was tested. You can never, you know, this is a subtle thing, but it's not subtle when you hear it or see it. you can never be tested by something you don't know you possess. I used to say that I've never been tested with giving up being a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But I have been tested giving up the ability to raise money. Now, he had to know that he had the power to feed. He had the power to raise people from the dead. He had the power to heal. In order that his emptiness from that would be real. You understand that? Now, what happens, God is engineering our circumstances and everything in our life to finally see whether or not, whether if we think it has something to do with us, then we're seduced. But we're only testing or demonstrating that seed of Christ that is within us. It never has anything to do with you. This is why the prosperity gospel or even all kinds of other issues are all about man. God benefiting man, God benefiting man, God benefiting man. And you can test it in you. Again, if you're in the picture, it's not about God, it's about you. Let's go to Romans 12. Was that Romans 12? Everybody there?
Don't confuse me with higher math, Gary.
Did you give him the page number?
Unless you're now looking for.
Are you in Romans 12 now?
Thank you.
I beseech you, I beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, a living sacrifice is a contradiction in terms. Because sacrifice always has death. But you're a living sacrifice because it's your death and his life. You're gone. You're dead. You're bye-bye. That's why it's the first thing he said to his disciples. Abandon yourself or deny yourself. It means to divorce yourself. Divorce yourself from you. As long as you're the subject of your sentence, you're at best carnal. At worst, you're totally deceived. Holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You have no value system that's in agreement with any kind or any area of any time that you live. Whether it's the first century, whether it was Abel and Cain, whether it's now. Be not conformed to this world, but be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So that your mind is finally the mind of Christ, total emptiness.
Yeah.
And it says, in order that you might prove, the better translation of that word is, in order that you might demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order that you might prove or demonstrate, it has nothing to do with you, it has to do with proving or demonstrating that perfection of that seed of Christ. Christ in you, the only hope of glory. So you're demonstrating his test or his manifestation by abandonment of yourself. But as long as it comes, well, this has something to do with me, or man in general, then you know you've been seduced and you're on the wrong path. Everything is his test. You don't have one. Are you willing to continue in his temptation, in his test, as opposed to yours? The way lies through the Gethsemane, through the city gate, outside the camp. As I've said to you so often, we are fed the bread of life in Jerusalem. But we bear his reproach outside the camp. Now, this isn't bearing your reproach. We bear his reproach outside the camp. That's where his test comes from. How many believers do you know that are hated of all men? Bear his reproach outside the camp. Let's look at some of those scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews 13 first.
What does that mean? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're going to find out. Bear his reproach. Go to Hebrews 13. Verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with foods, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. You understand that? Remember, we've studied the sin offering. Everything about the sin offering was done outside the camp. You weren't in the game. The offerings that were outside the camp were first all the waters of purification, then the sin offering, and then finally the trespass offering. The sin offering and the trespass offering are totally different. I hope you know, the sin offering is for you. You, because you are sin. It's not that you do sin, you are sin. The sin offering has to be given before you can even enter into the trespass offering. The trespass offering is for what you do, your mistakes. And then you're finally in the camp. So this is what we have an altar that they have no right to eat at. All right. Okay, wherefore Jesus, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, what is his reproach? We'll see in a minute that it's everything that happened to him. So let's go first to Romans 15. Verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fall on me. So the reproaches that fell on him have to fall on us. And that means all of the crap that happened to him, except the cross, have to happen to us.
What kind of crap?
Hated of all men?
Yeah.
Kill you and think you're doing God holy service? Considered even by the people that believed on him as Satan himself?
This because as he is in the world, so are we. That's verse is more, it's Christ talking about others' reproaches, everyone's reproaches fell on him, right?
Well,
that's what it seems to say. Verse 3 that you just read. But, I mean, I know that as he is in the world, so are we, but I'm looking at that.
Well, let's go to Matthew 26 first.
Okay.
This is him in Gethsemane. In verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I've prayed, Paul prayed three times that his thorn in the flesh would be removed. I've prayed 10,000 times that the pain would go until I can finally see, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. All right, now let's look at some more. Let's go to let's go to Psalm 69. This is, well, let's just read some of this. Start in verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine own head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, so an alien unto my mother's children. Remember that? Remember where it talks about his family thought he was nuts? For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are all fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with the fasting, that was it too, my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment and became a proverb to them, etc., etc., etc. Remember, we have to reach this point that Job did. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent in sackcloth and ashes. You can hear of him by the hearing of the ear till hell freezes over, but you've got to see him with the seeing of your eyes, and you'll then see him in everything. And then your will be his will. You have none. Because you're out of the picture. You are they that continue with me in my test, not yours. You bear his reproach outside the camp. You bear his reproach when you're publicly identified with what all the prophets said that John the Baptist would say. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of flesh is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. The futility and emptiness of all human effort, especially your own, is directly before your eyes. That's, remember what he was told to cry, and he said, what shall I say? And this is when you start being publicly identified with that, the idea that flesh is meaningless, empty, and the goals and ideas of men are pure dung, then you will bear his reproach outside the camp. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go to Hebrews 10. No, I screwed up there. Hebrews 11. I'm sorry, guys. Cross them all out. Our only aim must be to do the will of the Father. It's not to save people. It's not to be useful. It's not to bless people. Some people will be saved. Some will be blessed. Sometimes we'll be seen as useful, but in fact, most of the time, you'll be ignored, you'll be hated. This is what it means to bear his reproach outside the camp. That has nothing to do with you.
Is it both an internal and external thing?
Hmm?
That's not necessarily an external thing for us.
It's always external.
But it's never internal, man.
No, the internal conflict died when you were baptized. If it didn't die, you didn't get baptized. You just got wet. His reproach is always external.
See how that really operates. You say it's external.
Pardon?
Where is it perceived?
Well, it's perceived because the same way it was perceived in him. That's all the stuff we just read.
But it's perceived in him.
Pardon?
Even though something happens externally.
He feels it. You feel it.
That's internal.
But it's not. No. The internal that he's talking about is what happens with your mind. Or if you get sick or something. That's not. It's your response to pain. It's your response to being fooled, considered a fool. It's your response to be considered.
But that's all internal.
Yeah, but it comes from an external source. It's not internal. It comes from a source that's external to you. That's what initiates it. Of course, you have to feel, so it's internal.
Yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't originate internally. It originates externally.
Well, the raising of yourself is an internal activity. It doesn't happen outside. It happens inside.
Yeah, but that was considered to be gone at baptism when you resurrect yourself from the deadly head wound.
Well,
you were buried in baptism. If every time that you are tempted to do something to benefit yourself, then you got to repent of it. But it's not. This isn't the reproaches. The reproach comes from being externally identified with the doctrine.
Okay.
Does that communicate it better?
Yeah, that specific. Place your statement kind of sounds like broad brush as opposed to a specific type of
Well, that's what the predicate of it was. Everything that all is external, the reproaches are all external, and obviously they're felt internally.
Yeah.
But the internal thing that he was talking about is the doubts and crap of your own mind. Trying to keep yourself alive.
Yeah. That's where part of the battle is you have an internal event, you raise up and you think, I've got to get my own together here. I got to save myself. I got to.
Then that's repentance. But that's not bearing his reproach.
No, that's a different thing than a reproach.
Let's look at a couple. Let's go to Isaiah 50.
We need to meet today, so.
I don't think they'll be hurting.
What?
We need to meet today at 8:30. So if you're tempted to go on too long.
All right, we'll be. Well, no, we can. This is a good place to quit. We'll do that. We'll close this up hopefully tomorrow.
Monday.
Oh yeah, tomorrow's not. Tomorrow's not a meeting day. All right. But this is what I'm. The whole subject of this was being with him and his test, and just ignoring anything that's going on with you. I mean, that has nothing to do with anything. All right.
Well, one thing you said that I kind of caught a little meaning out of that when you talk about you are sin, yes, and he is righteousness. And by saying you are sin, it kind of clarifies who he is.
Right.
It seems small, but the more I think about it, it's huge. He is righteousness. And in your death,
for me to live as Christ, to die is gain. All right, take it, big guy.